Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Good morning. Yes, indeed. I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Julie Weisenhorn. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, Danny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How does your pumpkin grow? I couldn't resist. I've been seeing on the news lately, you and your colleagues at the Extension about these huge pumpkins.
Giant pumpkin project.
Before we get too far adrift here, I am, as you are, hearing some rumblings of thunder. So
yes.
We're anticipating, you know, something to come through the Twin Cities area. So we may have to be at the mercy, of course, as always, of Mother Nature. So we never know what's going to happen. We'll keep you filled in. Right now, there's nothing severe to report, but just in case, if you happen to have any, and we're already getting text messages, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we tend to get and how busy we keep Julie working this particular hour. So if you have a lawn or garden question, 651, either phone or text, by the way, 651-461-9226. Tell us about these pumpkins for those that maybe have missed all the news stories. What are we talking about, the great pumpkin, the giant pumpkin? What's the deal here?
So back in winter, my colleague Annie Claude, who's our fruit educator, said, you know, geez, what should we do something this year? What about growing giant pumpkins? And she works with pumpkin growers in Minnesota. And so we said, yeah, that'd be great. And I said, where do we get the seed? So we purchased seed from the St. Croix growers and started these plants in the greenhouse. And we are growing two pumpkins. The pumpkins require, each of them require about 500 square feet to grow minimum. So we have an area that is about 1,000 square feet. And these pumpkins are getting bigger and bigger by the day. So we have one that's destined for the state fair. That one is named Audrey, and Audrey is rolling in at about 230 pounds. That was our estimate yesterday.
And they can gain weight like really fast, like really fast.
It's like after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So they are gaining weight daily, roughly about 20 pounds.
Amazing.
So, yeah, and it's mostly water, but we are burying the nodes of the vines. So this is the point at which roots are put out along the main vine and also the secondary vines. And we are burying those nodes so that the plant obviously has more roots than just at the main point at which we planted the plant. So the other one is named Seymour, and both of these names come from Little Shop of Horrors. And Seymour is smaller than Audrey, at a, rolling in at about 150 pounds, 160 pounds. And Seymour is destined for the Giant Pumpkin Growers Harvest Festival, which happens in Stillwater, October 8th and 9th. That's all I know about it, but we do weigh in. People compete at that.
Okay. I think we're just what I was talking about a bit ago. We're at the mercy of an electrical storm. Nothing severe. Weather Service is not talking about any particular severe weather, so you can count on CCO to bring that to you if indeed that scene changes. Right now, there is rain. In fact, in our neighborhood, too, I can hear the thunder, getting some much-needed rain. We have, it's a pretty good chance, when they're talking 80% today, that chance diminishes to about 50% tomorrow, but we'll take it. Because
did I lose you again?
Yes, yes, that's okay. Because
I think
we're,
it's the weather.
Oh, no, most definitely it is the weather. We're glad to have you back. But maybe you can finish your thought about the pumpkin.
Okay. So anyway, come out to the Arboretum. We are out in on the 3 Mile Drive and right next to the Dahlia Trials and across from the Chinese Garden.
How do they transport? How do your colleagues transport these huge, I mean, very carefully, obviously, but what, a forklift or what?
Yeah, so these pumpkins are growing on pallets, and they're padded pallets, and they will be lifted by forklift onto my cousin Steve Ekman's truck. He has a flatbed truck. He's volunteered to drive the pumpkins to wherever they need to go.
All right, very good.
Yeah, so very exciting.
All right.
So we're thinking that Audrey will be about 600 pounds by the time she goes to the fair.
But you're right. The names come from from the play and the movie. Both.
Yeah. Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah.
Audrey is a Venus flytrap.
Let's do this. I know we have to break shortly, but I want to get a phone call in. Then we'll grab some text messages. The first phone call comes from Jean, who's calling in from Stillwater, I believe, today. Jean, thank you. What is your question for Julie?
Yes, I have two double impatiens that I've had since May, and I water them and fertilize them, and all of a sudden there are no more flowers, hardly any buds. What's happened? Is that the weather?
Oh, boy, Jean, that could be a number of things. So one of the, let's see, am I still on there, Denny?
Yeah, you're good to go.
Okay. One thing that could be happening is if you check underneath the leaves, if there are any leaves left. You didn't really say that. You just said there's no more flowers. It could be that you have maybe downy mildew on those plants. That would decimate the plants. But if they're just leafy and just no flowers, it could be the heat. It's awfully hot for these plants. It's been very dry, even though you've been taking good care, it sounds like. It could also be that they are finished blooming now, and they may, when our weather changes, they might start setting care, it sounds like. It could also be that they are finished blooming now, and they may, when our weather changes, they might start setting bud again. So just kind of hang in there. Keep watering them. We are coming to the end of the growing season for some of these cooler season impatient, or the cooler shade annuals. So it may be just they're done for the year, but just keep taking care of them. I think we have at least a month left of good weather for those.
There's a text before we break about someone who's trying to grow perennials to grow at the cemetery, but they were wondering if gophers or moles are causing issues because the plants don't hang around. They're kind of being pushed out.
Yeah, it's hard to grow perennials at a cemetery site. My mom has tried to grow hosta at our family cemetery plot. The problem is that you have to take care of them, so you have to go and water them regularly. And if plants get in the ground, and let's say you miss a couple of weeks, and we've had such dry, hot weather, you're not going to get much growth on those roots, and it's going to be harder for the plant to make it through the season. So I would recommend, using annuals or artificial plants, too,
sure.
Just to keep them looking good.
Yeah. Tech says, my hydrangeas are a magnet for black house flies. I can spray them with fly killer, but worry it may harm the hydrangeas. Is there a spray I can use to repel the flies without harming the plants?
So, yes, the musky smell of hydrangeas attracts many different kinds of insects, but flies included. There's really nothing to spray that is going to repel those plants or repel those insects. They like that smell, and as long as the plant is putting it out, it's a temporary situation. As the plants mature, they're going to stop putting out that musky smell, and the flies will disappear. So if you can tolerate it for a little while, I would just say just stay away from the plants, admire them from afar, and just there's not much you can do about it.
I know we have to break momentarily. I just wonder with all this rain that we're finally getting, and I hope we get lots more, I just wonder how many of our lawns will actually come back. I'm hoping many.
Yeah, that's a good question. I hope so, too. We have pretty resilient grasses. And we've had a lot of dormancy, of course. They've been very dry, but hopefully with rain, we will be able to have green lawns as we move into the fall.
Okay. Well, hang on, Julie. We'll take this quick break and invite our listeners to join in on our Lawn and Garden Question session here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Call in or text in. Same number, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities at 817, it's raining. Our CCO temperature reading 76 on our way to 83, the high today, and the high tomorrow in the Twin Cities with, again, a chance of showers near 76. Again, it's 76 now on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around the 8 o'clock hour every Saturday here on CCO. Welcoming your lawn or garden questions this morning for Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. We're in the midst of much needed rain.
Yay!
And a few thunderstorms here and there as well, so bear with us. We'll take it. You know, I'm gonna grab a text right now, and then we'll get back to the phones, Julie. Doug from Champlin says this: good morning. We have had a honey locust for over 30 years. This is the first year that we have had the long seed pods. Any ideas why that is?
Sometimes it takes, 30 years, though. Wow.
Yeah.
So we have sterile plants that are bred to not produce seed pods. Seed pods are messy. People don't like them. And so sometimes the plants, though, will revert back to the female, these sterile plants. So it sounds to me like that's what's happened with this honey locust. I am not a plant breeder, so I don't have the official terms in my head right now. But that sounds to me like it has basically gone back to its original gender, and that's producing pods. So you now have a female tree and not a sterile tree anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, it's like plants overcoming all human interaction.
I like that. let's go back to the phones. Julie, Jay is calling in this morning, I believe, from Excelsior. Thank you, Jay. What is your question for Julie?
Good morning, Julie and Denny.
Good morning.
I've got three silver maples that were all planted at about the same time. And one of them didn't leaf out this year, so it's dead. And then I have another one where it appears that the ends are dying back. Is that one the most likely kick the bucket as well?
It might. It's hard to say. I think the best thing to do, Jay, is to get an arborist into your yard to take a look at those trees.
Oh, I do believe we lost Julie, but we're going to get her back on real fast. She has this uncanny ability, in spite of electrical type of activity given the thunderstorms, to jump off and jump back on again. You just wait and see. Well, I'm hearing thunder in our particular neighborhood.
And you lost me again.
And there you go again, but you've come back promptly. And you have more to say, though, I think.
Did I finish my statement about having a certified arborist?
You started, yes. Would be, yeah.
Yeah, I have an arborist come in who also does tree pruning and tree removal. And then you can go ahead and they could assess the other trees as well.
And
sorry
as I always say that, and you know as well, that we have the ability,
yes.
We have such great arborists. Certified arborists are a great choice of arborists.
Yeah, we do. And you can find an arborist, Jay. We have a webpage on our extension yard and garden page under trees and shrubs on how to hire a tree care professional. And that will give you a link to the International Society of Arboriculture where you can plug in your zip code and it will come up with any and all arborists and tree care companies in the area.
And speaking of that website, you and your colleagues have done just a fantastic job of putting forth some great information. Now, there is, I mean, we have such an unusual summer. What is this, the fourth driest on record, I think.
It is close to that.
Well, you have a section on that about lawn care, a good one.
We do. We have a lawn care calendar, and right now we would be looking at things like seeding or fertilizing or aerating. Our lawns are just not recovered yet. So we would, recommendation is to just kind of hold off on some of those bigger projects. Right now, seeding, it's too hot. The seed is not going to germinate well. And aerating would be tough on your plant. It would really, or your lawn, it would really stress out your lawn right now. So if you could just hold off, we'll get some cooler nights, hopefully get some more rain, and we'll be able to start doing some of our lawn repairs and renovation for fall. I would say end of the month. We're looking at the end of August or so now.
Yeah.
It's just too tough on the plants.
Oh, it is. Outside of this weekend, Julie, I don't see any prediction of any moisture the rest of the week after tomorrow.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, at least that as of this point. This texter says, good morning, how can I move my wild ginger? It does not seem to like that.
Yeah, so you can move it. It's actually pretty easy to dig up. It does not have deep roots. It's kind of a spreading ground cover. You can move it. I would wait a little while till it's, if you can, wait until it cools down to move it. It's just a really stressful time for plants right now to be doing any digging and moving. They go through transplant shock anyway, even in nice, cool, moist weather. So if you can wait, that would be great. If you can wait till spring, that's even better, because the plant will then have the whole summer to recover.
I have heard, this texter says, that rhubarb has a large root system. How far away should I keep my root vegetables?
It is a big root system, a very deep taproot type system, very meaty roots. And I think for rhubarb, you want to give rhubarb, boy, if you can give it like, I don't know, 3 feet across and give it lots of room, that would be great. My rhubarb is kind of squeezed in, and it does compromise its production. So the more space you can give rhubarb, the better. And full sun, also, and well-drained soil.
All right, excellent. Julie, speaking of weather, let's take a break and have a look at that forecast, see what the rest of the weekend and this coming week happens weather-wise. So stay with us. We have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show to go. So if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, join the crowd, 651-461-9226 for either a phone call to Julie or a text question to Julie. It's right now in the Twin Cities is raining, and I hope it is where you are if you need it. 76 degrees, the official temperature reading here in the Twin Cities on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here along with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota and Abiders fame as well. I want to add that. When are you playing your next gig?
We're playing a member event at the Arboretum this, it's a week from Thursday. But we will be at Dog Days in Mound. If people are dog fans, bring your dog out. And we'll be out at Surfside Park in Mound on Saturday the 13th, playing from about 10:30 till 1:30 or so. So come on out. We'll have the whole band. So it'll be a gas.
It is so much fun to listen to you guys. And of course,
you finally came.
Yes, but
so
you have fun too. You
know? We do have fun, yeah. We have such a great group, and we're all friends. And most of us are relatives, which is kind of funny, but I guess that's what happens in family bands sometimes.
That's great. No, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right, back to our Smart Garden Show. Let's pick up on a phone call. I think Nancy's hanging on the line there, calling in from Edina this morning. Thanks, Nancy. What is your question for Julie?
Hi there. I have a fertilizer question. I have a annuals on my balcony, tomatoes, ferns, geraniums, and petunias, that kind of thing. Did I understand along the way that we should not be fertilizing after August 1st? My tomatoes are blooming and blossoming and tomatoing. Do we not? Did I understand that we don't fertilize after August 1st?
Nancy, I think because you have annuals and they're in containers on your balcony, then yes, you can continue to fertilize them. Annuals are going to finish their life cycle by, you know, September or so. And so you do want to keep fertilizing them to keep them producing. What we were referring to is perennials and for also shrubs and trees, because we don't want to put on a lot of new growth in the late part of the season, because it may not harden off before our temperatures get cooler. And so you may end up killing that new growth with cold weather damage. So, but for annuals, yes, in containers, keep fertilizing them. It sounds like you're doing a great job and they're producing, so that's fabulous.
Texter says this, Julie, when is it too late to plant trees and shrubs? Good question.
Yeah, so you can keep planting trees and shrubs up until probably into September. You do want to be sure that you're watering them very well up until the soil hardens and freezes. So as long as you can, as long as you keep your hose out there. And, of course, considering rainfall as well.
They have another question to that, related to that. Maybe this is one for the website. Any recommendations for trees and shrubs they want to know?
Yeah, visit our website. We have a trees and shrubs section, and it's extension.umn.edu. And go to Yard and Garden, and you can go to our trees and shrubs sections. And we do have lists of plants. We also have our Plant Elements of Design database, which is under the landscaping section, and also connected on the trees and shrubs portion as well. So you can enter in your growing conditions and come up with any and all of the 2,800 plants that will fit your site.
Julie, this listener is wondering about the lifespan of a Colorado spruce. They said they have one that's about 50 years old. The branches are browning. The tree color is turning rustier now. What do you think? Well, I think, actually, Julie has been disconnected from our program again because of the electrical activity with the storms. But she'll be back. In fact, I want to alert Will and Zimmerman. You're going to be our next phone caller. 651-461-9226. Not only is that the number to, if you want to chat with Julie, which is always fun to hear a listener call in, but it's easier for some folks just to send a text. 651-461-9226. Or either phone call or text here on our Smart Garden Show. Awaiting the return of Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. But in the meantime, I want to mention that website again, which some folks are just discovering and finding out what a great website it is, extension.umn.edu.
Yes.
Okay.
On color fur.
And you're back.
I'm, yeah.
And so what do you think about that Colorado spruce story?
Did I not answer that?
Well, you may have, but we lost you.
Oh, no.
Yes, and now you're back.
Oh, okay. So Colorado spruce, where did we leave off, Denny?
I don't know, but okay. let's for those that are just right. joining us, it's a 50-year-old tree,
okay.
And its branches are browning. The tree color is turning rusty.
All right. So Colorado spruce are susceptible to needle cast diseases, and we have a good web page on those. So we don't recommend Colorado spruce. They grow in Colorado where it's very dry. And so we recommend planting alternatives. If you do really want a type of a spruce that's blue, that would maybe be a fat Elbert spruce. And then also I would recommend the Concolor fir. So that is not a spruce. It's not susceptible to the same needle cast diseases. And you still get a large blue-green evergreen.
And I suppose deer love it.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think deer feed on spruce that much or
okay.
firs.
All right.
So I think they're looking at other things.
I'm going to look at that myself.
It's a gorgeous tree.
Let's grab a phone call from Will in Zimmerman. Thanks for hanging on, Will. What is your question for Julie, Will?
I have two questions. I've got some wild grapevines, and this year I am not seeing any grapes on them at all. And the leaves have these ugly green bumps on them, not every one, but some of them. And my second question is, my peony bushes, why every year it seems like they get this milky, it almost looks like you spritzed them with milk.
Right. So the first issue with the grapevines, those are grapevine galls. They are just produced by feeding of insects. There's not anything to do about them. It's just kind of an anomaly. But as far as the grape production goes, sometimes they are, they just don't produce as much some years. Some years you have a real bumper crop. Like last year, I didn't have many grapes on my grapevines, but this year I've got a ton of them. So sometimes it alternates in the production. As far as the peony goes, you have powdery mildew on that peony. And the peonies are susceptible to that. And so you can't really do anything about it except for removing those as they die back to remove those from your garden. Powdery mildew is everywhere around us. So It is very, very common on peonies and many other plants, too.
A listener wondered, did I hear last week in the show that we should not let our lawns go without watering for a month?
Yeah, so you should actually be watering at least deeply and infrequently for your lawn. So this is, don't just spritz your lawn, but actually put on your sprinkler and really water deeply and infrequently. Your lawn needs roughly about, it can go quite a while without any water, but you want to get probably an inch or so at least every couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just to kind of, it's dormant right now, so it's not going to be actively growing, but we'll start to see some greening up now.
Out of this, another text, and we'll grab some more calls. Out of 13 cauliflower plants, only one grew ahead. What can we do? Secondly, what tiny little black flying bugs eat broccoli, et cetera, leaves?
The broccoli, those might be flea beetles that are eating the broccoli. You can visit our broccoli page, and it will talk about pests. But as far as prompting more heads to grow, at this point in the season, you really can't. You're going to have that one cauliflower head. In the next year coming up, you might want to do some fertilization at the beginning of the year, beginning of the growing season, to prompt more head production.
Okay. Phone call coming in from Catherine in Blaine this morning. Thank you, Catherine. Catherine, what's your question for Julie?
Okay, Julie, I have two questions also. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
Julie, I just bought a hydrangea. Plant. It had beautiful purple flowers. And the morning I woke up and the flowers were gone. Can you tell me what it is? Because, I know that that rabbits don't eat hydrangeas. So, and squirrels don't, I don't think, because it has that cyanide poison in it, in the flowers.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Yeah, I read that on the website, but it didn't tell me what else could be eating them. I do have deer, so I'm thinking that's what it is. And the other question I have coneflowers, and I want to plant them. Is it too late in the year to do that?
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a minute. I heard deer.
She has coneflowers. She wants to, is it too late to plant coneflowers?
Oh, okay. You can still plant coneflowers. Be sure they're watered well. So you want to make sure that soil is well drained and that it's you're giving them water probably for perennials, probably at least every other day at this point. You want those roots to go deeply down. You don't want to just have them growing on the surface. As far as the hydrangea goes, I'm not sure about the cyanide. I would imagine if you have deer, that is who ate those heads off. Rabbits are not going to be able to eat. They would maybe cut the head off, but the deer are going to probably eat them off.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be the deer that are eating that. The best thing to do, the best defense against deer is a fence.
Yep.
So it's covering those small plants as they get established.
Let's take another phone call before we take a break. Julie, Rick is on the line calling in from Coon Rapids this morning. Rick, what is your question for Julie this morning?
Yeah, Julie, I recently purchased some Morel mushroom spores in the form of powder, and the instructions say mix with water, but do not use chlorinated water. And I'm wondering how important do you think that is?
I think it's really important, Rick. I would put a bucket out right now and collect rain. Hopefully it's raining where you are. And use that for mixing with the morels. So just gather some rainwater, and that's going to be your best bet. So those morel spores are tricky. It's very hard to grow morels domestically. And in fact, there's two brothers in Denmark who are doing it. But they have a very complex system. So follow the instructions and, yeah, definitely collect some rainwater to mix those with.
All right. Hang on, Julie. We'll take this break and be right back with more of a Smart Garden Show. By the way, coming along next hour, if you have any questions or are thinking about decks or decking or actually any kind of a home improvement question, Luke Panic, the deck specialist, he's also a porch specialist at Lindis Construction, will be filling in for Andy Lindis next hour. So take this opportunity if you want to ask any. He's also a porch specialist at Lindis Construction, will be filling in for Andy Lindis next hour. So take this opportunity if you want to ask any kind of a deck question or decking, cleaning, building, whatever. Keep that in mind. That's coming along next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Joe Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions. And we have many. We need about three more hours, then we'll be fine. Here's one, Julie. I have some texter says, barberry bushes that keep sending up new growth. How much or how long should I continue to trim? I only trim off the fresh growth. Thank you.
I missed the last end of that. They don't really trim off. They only trim off. What does it say after that?
I only trim off the fresh growth.
Okay, well, that's the way to prune them, is trimming off the new growth. But they keep sending up shoots. Yeah, they're going to spread, and then that's how they spread. So you can trim them back at the base. You can trim, you know, if you want them to be narrower, you can trim down at the bottom and cut off the suckers. But yes, you just keep sharing the new growth, and that's how you take care of them.
Okay. We have, this texter says, a Japanese lilac tree in the yard that we planted 2 years ago. We have a white plastic trunk, quote, sleeve around the trunk to protect it from rabbits. It is bigger than the trunk, so there is room for it to grow and get air. Does that particular sleeve hurt the tree in any way, and when is it safe to remove it?
Well, you could remove it in the, those are mostly meant to protect the tree during the early years, but also particularly in the winter. The white reflects the winter sunlight so that it keeps the trunk cool and keeps the cells frozen. And so you can remove those wraps in the spring and the plant will be fine. But it's a good idea to put it on. I think you could leave it on now through the next winter, but then at that point the bark should be pretty hard so that the rabbits won't be as likely to chew through it.
Okay. This listener says, how can I get rid of small flying gnats in my house plant soil? I don't want to throw my plants out.
Okay, so those are fungus gnats. The best thing to do is repot those plants where you see the fungus gnats. And they occur because the soil never dries out. So you're overwatering the plant, or you have poor drainage in the pot. And so we have a good webpage on managing insects in houseplants, and I would recommend you take a look at that webpage. It's on, under our houseplants under extension.umn.edu, yard and garden. So repotting and then just letting your plants dry out, making sure your pots drain well, and not overwatering.
Okay. You're going to have to help me with this. This is a type of daisy plant. I'm not sure if this is a typo. It's spelled with a G. Gerbera?
Gabbera daisies?
Gabbera daisy. Thank you. Can I bring it in over the winter as a house plant is the question.
You can try to, but they're pretty fussy. They need a lot of sun. I don't know of anyone who successfully grows those through the winter and that they bloom. So they're an annual here in Minnesota, so usually people just replace them in the spring.
This listener says, do you have any idea why my peas are turning white from the bottom up? Also, when I rub the white off, I see dark spots.
Oh, well, that's interesting. It could be powdery mildew that's on the peas. It could be, the dark spots. I'd say it's powdery mildew. It's some kind of a mildew.
Okay. All right. And I think I know the answer to this question. Is it wise to fertilize grass when it's extremely brown and dry? I have a lawn service coming on Monday and wondering if I should cancel.
Yeah, I would not fertilize your lawn right now. It's dormant. Fertilizing plants when they're dormant pushes them into growth and stresses the plants. So it can cause more problems down the line. So I would say just ask them to hold off a couple of weeks. And let temperatures kind of let the grass start actively growing where you see it's green and it starts to green up and then go ahead and fertilize.
This another lawn question, Julie. It says, I have brown patchy areas on the lawn and think this may be from grubs. Should that be treated?
If you have grubs, you would be able to pull those brown patches up like carpet. Mm. So the grubs feed on the roots. And so if you can pull those areas up, it's a grub issue. And now would be the time to treat for, I believe, to treat for grubs. Our IPM extension educator, Marissa Hsu, just wrote a great article on grubs and Japanese beetles. So you can take a look at that. It was written, I think she wrote it July 13th. And it's in our Yard and Garden News, which, by the way, listeners should subscribe to because it provides very current information about things that we as educators are seeing out there and we're advising on and giving information on. So that's also linked on our Yard and Garden webpage. And you can get an alert every couple weeks when new information is posted.
Again, extension.umn.edu.
Yes.
Just a great site.
Yep. Yard and Garden.
When is a good time, listener says, to transplant wild asparagus?
Oh, boy. I think transplanting, wild asparagus. I think I would wait until maybe later in the season now. I would maybe wait until end of August, early September to transplant it when it cools down. Again, it is just hot and dry right now for transplanting plants. And if you can just hold off a few weeks transplanting it, then I would do that. You do want to have it growing in the spring with asparagus. I would ordinarily say transplant it in the spring. But you want that asparagus in the spring. So, I would just hold off a few more weeks on that.
2 minutes to go, Julie, so we got to scoot. Last summer, this texter says, I needed to move a peony due to construction. I replanted it at the same depth, same sunlight, same soil, etc. It did not bloom this year. I'm hoping that you can reassure me it's just mad at me and it should come back next spring.
It's just probably got to get reestablished in its location. It might be a couple years before it blooms again.
Okay. This second year, Texas says, I've grown cucumbers on a trellis. I have flowers, but no cucumbers. Why don't I get cucumbers when growing on a trellis?
It's a lack of female flowers on that plant. That could be a couple different reasons. It could just be the year that the plant is, you know, that it's just not producing female flowers. It could be the temperatures we've had. It could be lack of pollinators in your garden. Cucumbers have male and female flowers, and they need bees to cross-pollinate. You can look for female flowers. They should have a bulge at the base of the flower, and that will indicate that's the ovary, and that's ultimately what turns into the cucumber itself. So look on the plants, look on the flowers. If you don't see a bulge, you have all male flowers, and that sometimes that just happens on cucurbits.
Interesting. Well, Julie, thanks so much for your time again today. Always fun. Now, give us that website again at the U of M, and we'll talk to you soon, I know.
Sounds good. Extension.umn.edu, and go to Yard and Garden.
And how do we sign up for those alerts again?
You can go to the Yard and Garden News, and there's a sign up there where you can subscribe.
Excellent. Julie, have a good week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Denny.
Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota Extension. Showers and thunderstorms are likely today. You may be hearing those or experiencing those right now. Again, I want to remind you that coming along next hour, right after our local news and CBS News, of course, we'll have our home improvement show, our Linda's Construction Hour. And filling in for Andy Lindis today will be Luke Panic. Among other things, he's their deck and porch specialist. So if you have any kind of a deck question, this is going to be your day to ask the expert, Luke Panic from Lindis Construction. That's next hour here on our Home Improvement Show. High today in the Twin Cities will be near 83, will be 76 tomorrow. Showers, more of it on the way. Stay with us.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.